This is the TV Booth Podcast.
Well, here we go again. It's episode 3 of the TV Booth Podcast with me, Rob Francis. Good to have you with us. My guest today is a graphic designer who has worked on many programmes for the BBC and Channel 5. He recently oversaw a mini refresh of BBC Breakfast and was the man responsible for the complete relaunch of Newsround. He's now left for BBC and gone freelance. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him about his time at the BBC and his plans for the future. I'm very pleased to welcome James Motts to the TV Booth Podcast. James, it is a pleasure to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks very much for having me, Rob. Really appreciate you inviting me on.
It's an absolute pleasure. So let's start right back at the beginning of your life.
Yeah.
Growing up, were you always creative growing up? Did you always want to be a graphic designer?
Well, it's a great question. I get asked this a lot by a lot of students that I meet when I go in to do talks and things like that. And actually, I've always been obsessed with design, but I wasn't able to identify why until I was much older. So my parents, I'm sure they tell everyone their story, so I'm not ashamed of it. But when I was really young, they used to take me to the supermarket as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old, and I'd say, oh, look, the Sainsbury's logo is different, or the post office has had a different, why is it different colours? And I was very aware and very observant to design that was all around. And I think they just thought I was a bit weird. I don't think they understood why I was pointing these things out. And then I was absolutely terrible at art at school, really, really bad. And I remember one parents' evening, my art teacher at secondary school, I must have been in year 7 or 8, I don't know, 12, 13, something like that, was talking to my parents about, what an amazing talent I've got in art. And my parents were thinking, really? Like, I can't draw, I can't, what's he talking about? And actually, I was really lucky. What this teacher saw in me was something that no one else had spotted, that I do get brand, I do get identity, I get something that he called like graphic design. And he then really kindly did sort of after school lessons with me for a few years, took me through an art GCSE and a graphic design GCSE, which the school didn't do at the time at all, which I now believe, speaking to a student a few weeks ago, actually the school now run this and have full classes, which is great. But this is going back 15 years or something. And it's thanks to him, Mr. Gould, I'll give him a name check. He sort of unlocked this world that I didn't know even existed. So I became obsessed with graphic design. And I could call it that, and I could identify what it was, and I started just learning and playing around in Photoshop and Illustrator, and also I have really early memories too of like things on TV. So as well as the post office sign changing in my local town, I remember being obsessed with new channels launching, like Channel 5. I remember making my parents make sure I was allowed to stay in to watch Channel 5 launch with the Spice Girls. And I remember the multicoloured stripes and the 5-4-3-2-1 launch campaign. And I can't remember how old I was. That was, 97? So I must have been 6 or 7. But I just remember being obsessed with design, broadcast. And it's only when I was much older I was able to put the two together.
Absolutely. That Channel 5 launch, I don't remember that because I couldn't get Channel 5 at the time. So
no.
So since you, I take it you went to university, did you do graphic design at university?
So from school I did graphic design at GCSE level, along with art and product design and English and all the other sort of subjects you do. And then at sixth form I went on to do graphic design with the same teacher. We recruited a bit of a bigger crowd then, so there was group of maybe 10 of us. And what was great was I was allowed to just find my own path with graphic design. So while some of the other students were working on, pottery or illustration, I really wanted to do branding and identity. So I was approaching shops in my local town, asking them if they wanted new logos and stuff. And I ended up, rebranding a little jewellery shop and doing jobs and around the local community and with charities. And I was able to put all of that into my portfolio. And then I I sort of struggled actually to find what I was going to do next. I knew I wanted to go to university because I wanted the experience and I wanted the degree. But actually, a lot of courses I went to go and see weren't quite right for me. They were quite very arty, and I'm not arty. I am interested in art, and I don't want to spend 6 months drawing life drawings. And I wanted to find a course that could just give me real life experience. And also, I had a real love of English language, which I didn't really realise until I was doing my A-levels. And I wanted something that could, you know, marry the two in some way. And that's where I ended up finding this course at University of Salford called Advertising Design. And that was effectively a mix of graphic design with copywriting and the English, the writing side of stuff. And it was a really brilliant course. So every few weeks, we get live briefs from all sorts of agencies and clients that are in Manchester. We were paired up with all sorts of different people. We had so much exposure to the industry. It was just brilliant. And I think if I hadn't have done that course, I probably wouldn't be where I was today. And they were also quite free with the areas of study. So if some people wanted to do a particular brief that's more illustrative or motion led or whatever, that's fine. If I wanted to do a brief that was more my flavour, then that was also fine. And then throughout university, I also started just trying to do a few more placements and work experience. And when I was at school, I did this placement in an agency in Birmingham. And I basically emailed them, say, hey guys, it's me from a few years ago. Don't suppose I could pop in over the summer. And they allowed me to pop in over summer. And that summer then became around 18 months worth of me working for them, which was brilliant as a junior designer in this agency in Birmingham. A lot of their clients were retail based, so it was not broadcast at all, but there were bits where I was then able to grow into motion. So as a junior designer, I was artworking up designs from the creative director. So it was a really great way to learn about design, the basis of design, grids, layout, print. It's a very different skill to what I've gone into, but it was really, it was the foundations of everything in my career, actually. And, you know, where there was scope to do a few more, it was in this sort of early days of social media, I suppose, realizing that actually these clients wanted a Facebook page and they wanted some animating assets on their social channels. So when someone has said in the office, oh, is anyone around to do a quick graphic that animates, I put my hand up straight away. And of course, I didn't know a clue what I was doing. But I gave it a go. I did loads of tutorials on the internet. And that's how I found my way into motion, actually. And then my dissertation that I did for my final year at university was specific. I was obsessed with broadcasts. At this point, I knew I was a TV nerd. I loved looking at titles and channel launches and idents and news titles from around the world. I knew this is sort of the area that I wanted to go into. So I targeted, I say target, that's probably the wrong word, but I approached as many people I could find that worked in broadcast design. So I went to go and meet the guys at ITV News, at ITN. I went to go and meet the local TV designers at Midlands Today and at ITV Central. I went to Northwest Tonight, where I was at University in Manchester, and ended up actually doing work experience with some people who then became my colleagues. I also went to meet Sky News, an amazing guy called Chaz, who's the design director of Sky News. And we met probably only for an hour and a half. And I was just asking him questions about, you know, similar questions to what we're talking about, really. You know, how do you start a brief for a rebrand of the news channel? And how do you tell a story? And, you know, what are the constraints of the brand? And how do you make sure that brand's consistent? All the things that I wanted to know to go into my dissertation to work out the future of design in TV was effectively my overall title. And at the end of that chat, Chaz invited me back in, and it was amazing. I ended up doing sort of a few days over the course of a month at Sky News in 2011, which taught me a lot of stuff that I still think about today. It was my first experience in a live news environment. It was fast-paced. It was very high energy, sometimes quite tense because things are breaking and you need to get them on air really quickly. And I'd never experienced any of this. And this was when I realized, yeah, I want to work in news. I want to work in news design. This is exciting. It's thrilling. It's nonstop. It's unpredictable. It was amazing. And just the way that they thought at Sky really inspired me. It was all about, you know, I think they're brilliant at having such a consistent vision and visual language across the output. And at the time, they just launched the iPad app. So there was a team working on art, you know, digital design. And I just felt like this is a really exciting place to be. But equally, so were the place I went on experience. I went to ITN and that was spent the day there. And that was fascinating to see how they do all the virtual sets. And I think I ended up in the industry because I'd met all these people and had so many different bits of experience. It might have just been a day here and a day there, but I hopefully displayed that I really was passionate about working in news. And I think that's why I ended up getting the job in Salford in the beginning of 2012.
Excellent. Excellent. So you have overseen the relaunch of a couple of news programmes for the BBC. Yeah. BBC Breakfast last year, there was a mini refresh. What was the thought process behind that relaunch?
Yeah, well, it was Breakfast obviously moved in 2012, and it was sort of a hybrid of what had gone before, a bit fresher, different studio, much brighter. And then I think naturally, as any programme, I think all the output from the BBC in Salford had grown and developed since it'd been in Salford. And one thing that really surprised me is that we were really proud about being in Salford. We would have, you know, presenters out on the piazza. We'd use, you know, the environment around us. And also, I think a lot of the output was, you know, from Five Live and other parts of the BBC was really proud to be from Salford. And I was speaking to someone who works in audience research, and they were saying that, you know, a lot of people still don't realise the BBC is in the north and a lot of output comes from the north. People associate it with still being in the south. So that started my brain thinking, oh, I wonder how we could change that. I wonder how we could, you know, be a bit louder and proud about coming from the north. And I think a lot of my team that I worked with at Breakfast, the editorial teams that I was reporting to, they agreed as well. And I think the starting point for me was, how could we reinterpret the titles and just give them a very subtle refresh? That's what I originally did. And I posted it on my Twitter, actually, a few weeks ago, just before I left the BBC. I was going through some old work and I found it. And I thought, God, yeah, I forgot I did that. And it's weird to see because I can see elements in that that then ended up with what's on air today. And yeah, that went down really well. But I think it's a case of, you know, there are a lot of decisions to go on the BBC. And, you know, you can't just decide you're going to change the graphics. It's you know, why are we doing it? Is, you know, there's a lot of editorial reasons and a lot of political decisions that are out of my control that we have to work with. So while I was pitching a way to rebrand Breakfast, it was actually a bit of a slow burner, really. It was on a back burner until sort of end of 2017, beginning of 2018, when we really got going with it. I was very much sort of flying the flag of, you know, we should evolve the look all the time. I never believe that, you know, once I've done the Breakfast relaunch, that's Breakfast sorted. You know, I'm a believer in constant renewal and constant evaluation of on-air output. And I tried to do that across all the programmes I worked with at the BBC. In my staff job, it was Breakfast, Newsrounds and Northwest Tonight. And I was always looking for new ideas or new ways to do things, partly inspired by other channels that I was watching from around the world. You know, I'm a huge nerd. I'd look at TV Live, I'd look at TV Forum, I'd look at, you know, all those sort of websites, TV Newsroom, and look at all these international bits of presentation that I liked and thought, that's quite a good idea. I wonder how we could, you know, interpret that or how we could, you know, move that on into our programme. So it just came organically out of my own personality in that job that I was someone who wanted to move things on quite a lot. And often that was just very informal conversations that then obviously when they become formal, that's when things become a little bit slower and harder to achieve.
I mean, it's a great little refresh, I have to admit. You've also worked on Newsround for many years.
Yes.
You did the relaunch a few years ago, and I understand you've done the forthcoming relaunch of Newsround.
Yes.
What, What was the thinking behind the changes?
Well, the original rebrand was probably one of the best things that I've ever worked on. It was great. It was really, I effectively went, well, it was all self-initiated again, similar to Breakfast. I went to the program editor at the time and I said, I'd worked really hard to compile this audit of design that the audience of Newsround, it's aimed at 6 to 12 year olds, that were, you know, all this design that they're exposed to on a daily basis, that the type of design that's in the apps on their mum and dad's phone, the type of design that's on the bus shelter out, you know, when they get the school bus, the type of design that's on TV, the type of design that is on social media, the stuff they were seeing every day. And I felt really strongly that the Newsround design output at the time wasn't really hitting those points. And we also had, you know, a team of 6 designers who were all brilliant, but there were no sort of basic rules. We were using all sorts of different colours, all sorts of different typefaces. From one day to the next, there was no consistent language visually. And it was becoming more and more obvious when Newsround started to get more digital, put more stuff online. There was just no consistency. So I put this pitch together. And eventually, they said, yeah, do you know what? That's a really good point. Let's give it a go. So all of our designers, all 6 of us, all pitched different ideas. We all got some time to work on our different thoughts. And then one of my bosses went to Newsround and pitched these ideas. And then I was chosen to work on it. So that's how the 2014 brand came around. And I remember thinking about my initial ideas, actually. I've still got all my old, very early sketches and stuff. And I sort of wanted to create a brand that didn't feel too patronizing, that felt very cool and current, but also linked with BBC News. And I'm sure you probably know it has that sort of link with the David Lowe Music and the Globe and the what we call the Cradle, which is that sort of network of lines that connect the place names and the main BBC News titles. I sort of wanted to integrate those elements so it felt like a stepping stone to the core brand. And that came with not just sort of a nerdy perspective, but on a, you know, serious point, we were using BBC journalists from all around the world, you know, whether it be Matthew Price, you know, in Beijing or wherever it was, you know, we were using the core news correspondents to put stuff together for Newsround as they were on location. And, you know, and that was part of my reasoning of why we should link it to news, because it was a news program, it is a news program, and the agenda was newsy, and I think it only made sense to tie it with the master brand. And the great thing was that actually it was quite an open brief. I remember feeling very free and creative, and I could, you know, there wasn't much to-ing and fro-ing in that process, which is incredibly rare. Even on the smallest of jobs, there was always a bit of to and fro of amends or changes, or should we change that wording, or is that quite the right shade? There was always, it's part of the design process, it always happens. And actually, we were a really great team. It was the program editor, the directors of Newsround, and myself who were working on the brand. And I think because it was quite a small team and we all felt involved and on the same page, it was a really lovely experience. And we, you know, I approached David Lowe for the music. We got a brilliant set designer in called Emma Dibb, who worked on Bully Peter at the time. And our challenge there was we actually had to keep the video wall structurally. It was too expensive for us to change. So what could we do to really revamp that space, but actually not spending a lot of money? And yeah, I think we did a brilliant job making that space feel a lot bigger with the curved video wall. And the video wall actually was the same proportion and size and position, but by having these curved light boxes at the top and bottom, one, that was a reference to the core news studio, which I was very keen to include, but equally it made the space feel bigger because we rounded off those corners. And the Newsround studio itself is actually quite small. It's shared with CBBC presentation. So yeah, it was, I feel really proud that we managed to make a program look really consistent, really current, really newsy and bold and exciting. And even little things like the lights up, the lights down at the end of the start and end of the program. That's something that I was remembered from Newsround when I watched it in the sort of 90s. It had an element of excitement and pace and authority. And I wanted to bring all of that back to the brand because I felt like it sort of was not shouting proudly enough at the time. And you know, simple things like just standing up at the top of the bulletin, and maybe for a softer story we sit down, that sort of texture back into the program was all considered and thought of as part of the brand. And I'm really proud of what we achieved. I think it really stood the test of time as well. The current refresh that's going to be on air in, I think, September, I've left the BBC now, so I'm not fully across things. That was all to do with digital. So early last year, we started working with some brilliant designers from BBC UX&D, which is user experience and design. And they were building a new digital experience for Newsround. And they identified similar problems that I had. Inconsistencies with output. You've got a range of producers and assistant producers and you know, people making content, but there was no sort of consistent kit of parts for them to post a square video on Twitter. The website equally was not maybe as kid friendly as it could have been. It was maybe a bit colorless, and I think a lot of the team felt that. So this team was brought in and we worked together. I as sort of the director of the brand had a chat with them, showed them all the brand kit of parts, and it was quite scary actually. It was the first time where I had to sort of let go of my baby, my brand. I had to sort of trust that they were going to do a good job, and they more than did a good job. They did an amazing job. They came back with this really beautifully refined and refreshed identity that didn't feel too distant from where Newsround currently was. They basically stripped out the globe and just had one of the little spacey orbs that flies around the globe and turned the colours into a gradient. It just felt more current. It was just an update 4 or 5 years on. And they applied that to the website, which launched in July last year. So that's, you know, it's sort of already launched on digital platforms. And as part of that, I designed a new digital kit of parts for social videos and stuff like that. And then it was very much a case of, right, now we need to update the TV side of things, because the studio screens, the templates that we use, the titles, they don't really look like the digital experience that kids are getting, the audience are getting online. So it was a case of then trying to get the funding and the sort of sign off on that happening. And yeah, I'm really proud of it. It's on my website now. I'm really proud of it. I think it looks great. I think it's a definite evolution of the brand. We also worked with an amazing guy called Dave Connolly, who works at Molecular Sound. And he's done a lot of the music for Sky Sports and for Challenge Idents and for loads of other TV projects. And I basically met him and we had a bit of a chat about it. And I just said, look, I've got this bit of a brief. I'll just be interested to see how you respond to it. And he came back with this amazing chart current sound that had the core Newsround sound in it, but it also just felt 2019. And relevant to the audience. And so that's how the new music came around. And you know, I worked with that music to then evolve the titles a little bit as well.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing it on screen.
Yeah, me too.
I've got some questions now from some of our followers.
Yeah,
this great. First one's from Josh over at TV Forum. What's been your favourite BBC project to work on?
Oh, well, Newsround was one of them because of that creative freedom that we've just spoken about. Some other fun stuff I've done. I loved working on the general elections and the referendum coverage, actually, the Scottish referendum and the EU referendum, because it was so different to my normal job. Normally, my job at the BBC was doing one of three shifts, the breakfast shift, which is, you know, working through the night, making the graphics of the program, coming off air in the morning, and then you have to sort of sleep in the day. It's very hard. It's very grueling. It's challenging. The sort of Northwest night shift was working in the day during the day, producing the graphics for the program. It's a bit of a late finish at 7 o'clock, but you know that's that shift. And then the Newsround shift is, you know, 9 to 5 office hours, working to the bulletins. And actually, during those sort of big news stories like the elections and the referendums, a lot more resources go into telling what is quite a complex story. So in that time, I'd go on shoots with Steph McGovern. We'd go and try and tell really complicated business stories in a really sort of irreverent, fun, digestible way. And that was challenging. It was new. It was exciting. I love working with Steph. hope I can carry on working with Steph now I've left the BBC in a freelance capacity. And, you know, working with people like that, she really pushed me to become a better designer and to think outside the box and not do that sort of standard news graphic with an arrow going up and an arrow going down and a percentage and a stat. It was, how can we tell these stories in different ways? We did all sorts of things. We went to Downing Street, and one story about going to Downing Street, actually, is we were filming this piece to camera. And we were allowed all the way wherever we wanted on the street, actually. I thought we'd have to stay behind the barriers. And the PR guy from Downing Street was really nice and just said, hey, no worries. If you want to go up to the door, you can film up to the door. And we did all this stuff. And then we had to pause filming because Joey Essex had turned up. He was getting a bit annoyed that the BBC were allowed all over the street, yet he was stuck behind the barrier. So we kindly agreed to pause filming for 10 minutes so he could go and do some filming on the street. It's just those sort of bizarre situations that I wouldn't have experienced if I was in the office producing graphics back at base. And then what else have I done? Those times are difficult because I remember during the general election of 2017, I was working 6 or 7 day weeks for 6 weeks because I was doing my main job in the office in Salford, shoots, and, you know, then producing the 3D graphics flow shoots, which, you know, tends to be a 4 or 5 day turnaround. Then on top of that, I'm really proud to work with Radio 1 Newsbeat on the side. I basically love Radio 1. I love Newsbeat. I've always listened to it. And I approached them and said, hey, I'd love to come and work with you and do some visual stuff. And they agreed, and we started on, you know, doing some EU referendum stuff with them initially. And I carry on that relationship now, and I love producing work for them. But it was challenging because I had my day job, doing big shoots that are also completely different to the day job, plus working on the Radio 1 projects, which had to be equally distinctive and stand out from the core sort of BBC News look, which is a challenge in itself. So it was really, really busy times, and I think I was probably at the end of the 6 weeks emotionally and physically exhausted by it all. But I look back with really fond memories. I loved it. I learned so much. I developed so much. I produced some work that I'm still really proud of. Made some great new friends and colleagues elsewhere in the BBC. It was just really exciting doing those sort of big news stories. But equally, you can have really sad days that stick with you. I mean, to this day, I still get the shivers thinking about the day that the Manchester attack happened. I was, I think I was meant to be on a planning shift, or I can't remember whether I was meant to be in or on a different shift. But I remember I was out on the Monday night. I was having a beer with a friend, and all of a sudden the whole bar just went really quiet. And I thought, oh no, something big's happened. And we heard rumours of something happening. And then all of a sudden we heard all these sirens. And I got a message quite early that morning saying, can you come in? We want news round. We want you to be on news round and work with a colleague on news round, another design colleague who was already on news round, to produce this explainer of how we tell this story to kids. And I'm really proud of the work we did that day, but for a different reason. It wasn't an enjoyable experience. It was a really hard day. It was in the city that I live, and I've lived here for 10 years. It was, you know, affecting the audience directly. It was, you know, people who watched Newsround were involved and there, which made it quite distressing. People I worked with, their kids, or even they were there. So it was it was news that was right on our doorstep, and therefore it made it quite difficult to work on. But that memory sticks in my head as well. But I'm proud of it because we did tell this story to a younger audience. We didn't use footage that was going to be distressing or alarming. We were reassuring. We were clear. We were concise. And it was lovely to see people like BuzzFeed pick it up, and lots of other BBC presenters were tweeting about it, who were saying, you know, if you have kids, watch this. It's a really good way to tell this story. And it reminded me of why I do the job. It's not just about the branding, which, you know, I love doing, and the identity and the presentation. It's telling a story, and it's trying to make a story that is complex or difficult to explain to an audience really digestible. And I think that was a really proud moment for me as well. And then, of course, working on Breakfast has been great. I've absolutely loved working on the show for 7.5 years. It's a great team on and off screen. It's been brilliant, and equally had many memories where I've got to meet some of my heroes. My celebrity heroes have come on the sofa. I've done some really wild and quirky graphics. It's been great to work on such a diverse range of output.
Fantastic. Question now from Martin Anderson. Have you been involved in any projects that you were confident in your pitch about, but was rejected for some reason? And do you have any regrets about the designs that weren't chosen?
Yeah, I mean, I think rejection happens all the time. And that's something I've learned. And it is initially quite difficult as a designer to deal with it. And there's been loads of stuff that's happened. So originally I pitched a rebrand news round in 2013 and it got rejected. And I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to achieve this. It's never going to happen. And I remember my boss really consoling me over it. And I was, because I was only like 22 at the time, 21 or something. And I was very young and very naive. And I thought my world was over because I was never going to be able to rebrand Newsround. But it came around eventually. And the breakfast, I pitched a lot of ideas to breakfast and not all of them came off. And that can be quite hard to deal with as a designer. You put all your heart and soul into an idea, but it never sees the light of day. But equally, I think it's all part of the process, isn't it? You know, you develop an idea, it doesn't get used or it gets forgotten about, it gets rested, and then the ultimately that brief will always come back around. So when we did want to look at breakfast again, I was able to dig out those original ideas that I had about evolving the globe, and that was a good starting point to then, as you know, I've then had a year off not thinking about it. It was actually really nice to come back with it with a fresh pair of eyes. And then something I've just done actually through colleagues at BBC News in London is that I was asked to work on a pitch of Newsnight, which is on my site as well. And that's what, probably one of the things why I've decided to leave the BBC, because it was such an interesting brief. It was such a challenge in many ways. It really pushed me to think differently. And I just thought that in my current role at the BBC, there wasn't anything else I could do. You know, I've rebranded Newsround a few times. We've got breakfast as far as I can get it. This Newsnight challenge was really interesting. That's when I started thinking, well, maybe if I think about some other opportunities outside the organisation or in other parts of the organisation and with other broadcasters, maybe that's where I'm going to get this more challenging brief again. I'm really pleased with what I did actually. My perspective on that was I spent ages just drawing different sort of ends on bits of paper. They wanted to, you know, really iconic sort of logo emblem they could have on social media, and they wanted to tie it more with the BBC Two identity, which I love, by Super Union and BBC Creative. It's a stunning on-screen identity. But the brief had some things where it talked about, you know, wanting to link more with BBC Two. So, for example, one thing I did take was how could we transition from that curve of the BBC Two ident into an N? And I think it's really important to think about the bigger context of a programme. So how are BBC Two getting into Newsnight? What idents are they using? How can you make that? What is the second mix between? How long is that mix between the ident and the titles? How can we make it really blend and feel seamless? So that was something I looked into. And then little touches as well, like the idea that the logo might start off in serif, then brief serif typeface, and then animate into sans to fit the same designs that you see on the BBC Two N boards. So it felt very BBC Two. And I had good feedback on it, but it never saw the light of day, sadly. I think it's a shame, because I know it's a bit rough and ready, but I think it could have been developed further. But I was really, that's what sort of made me think, yeah, briefs like this, if I got more stuff like this, this would really challenge me and push me into being the next level of designer. It was just a really great brief to work on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've done that's been rejected or knocked back. And I think it happens all the time. You might come up with an idea for a strand that's on a program, whether it be Newsround, Northwest Night, Breakfast, whatever, and then they'll come around and say, oh, it's not quite what we're after, and you end up having to completely change it. And that happens all the time in design. I think that happens whether you're working in an agency, whether you're working in a broadcaster, a print house. That is just the design process. And I've got a whole hard drive full of ideas that have probably never been used and never will be, but it's still part of that journey.
Follow the TV Booth podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for sneak previews of forthcoming podcasts.
Next question comes from James Martin. He's asked if there was just one thing you were allowed to change about the current BBC News branded output, what would it be?
That's a great question. I think the BBC News brand is really strong. I think even though it's 20 years old this year, the David Lowe music and the sort of globe and the swirls and the red. I mean, it's so identifiable across the globe. I think it's a very difficult thing to answer, to say, yeah, that needs changing, because it's just so embedded now in as part of our culture and worldwide on a lot of world projects that are going out now to Africa and as part of the World Service. You know, the pips are there, the red and swirls, and, you know, it's all just so BBC now. It'd be crazy to do anything different. I think one thing that I would change, which is changing, are things like the lower thirds. I feel like, you know, if once a design's been on screen for any length of time, and then you start building more and more things onto it, so they start off with the lower thirds, and then they build, you know, the new sidebar they have on the news channel, they then start adding more and more things, and it becomes a bit, you know, a basic thing with lots of add-ons. And I think that definitely needs all sort of streamlining, which I've seen some of the designs for, which look great. It's part of the Wreath refresh. I think that really beautifully streamlines a lot of these elements that they're using on air, and perhaps also with design. I know this from stuff I've done. You build in all this functionality. So we had a template I designed for breakfast, where it was a template producer could build lots of tweets and stitch them together to say, Donald Trump tweeted this, and here's some reaction to it. And one of the things it started off with was a hashtag to say, you know, hashtag Donald Trump, these are all the stories, or hashtag Eurovision, stories related to this hashtag. But effectively, the producers never used it. So in the new version, we've taken that out, because it was just a function that wasn't required. It was a nice little design thing, but no one really used it. And I think maybe just thinking about little things like that within the whole visual language of the brand, just streamlining it, stringing it right back, just getting that, think about that hierarchy, you know, this is breaking news, this is latest news, this is just, you know, news in brief. I think there needs to be a more defined approach to that. Especially in this digital age where, you know, I've done it myself. I've been on a train, something's happened, I've watched the live stream of BBC News on my phone, and, you know, everything's just shouting at me. And I think that's one thing that will definitely change with the new look. And I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited to see it get on air.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah.
Just to stop the endless speculation that's going around on social media and TV4 and that sort of thing.
I've been enjoying the TV forum speculation. It will get there. I think the one thing to remember about any big project like that is that there's so many elements that need to be considered, and it can't be rushed. It has to be something that's right. There's nothing worse than launching something where it's not quite ready. And I've been involved in projects before, you know, the breakfast refresh and the newsround rebrands, where you want to launch it and it's almost there, but there's one little niggle where it's, the wipe's not quite right, or the text isn't quite right, or someone wants to change something. And you think, oh, this is so frustrating. And I know that feeling, because I'm a TV nerd myself. But as a designer, you've got to get it right before it's on air. And I think when it is on air, it'll be a real breath of fresh air. And I think the news brand will look really clean and consistent. And I think, as I say, it's just so iconic now. It'll be mad to change it. I think ultimately the time will come where it is time to do something completely different. But I think in this current climate where the BBC want to get that BBC brand out internationally, I think, you know, it's so recognisable. It would just be madness to do anything too radical with it at the moment.
Indeed. So you have confessed that you are a TV presentation nerd.
Yes.
I don't like using that word, nerd. Geek sounds more appropriate.
Geek, nerd, yeah, geek. I suppose geek like is a little kinder. Yeah,
I like geek. Do you have a favourite television graphics package, past or present?
Oh, so many. I mean, where do I start? I mean, I remember loving, when I was younger, before I worked in TV, the BBC Three blobs. I just loved their sort of irreverence and their comedy. The fact the clips were from, you know, old BBC archive audio. The original BBC Four idents are stunning. The BBC Two idents that are on air now are just beautiful. They're almost sort of mesmerizing. They're like mesmerizing and just hypnotic in many ways. They're totally hypnotic. And I think they're just beautiful pieces of art, aren't they? The current BBC Two identity. I love the previous BBC Two brand too. The fact it had so much personality in it. The current Channel 4 on-screen identity by DBLG is also iconic. I just love the fact that they've reinvented that iconic Lambie Nairn logo from the 80s. And I don't know if you know this story, but I know Grant's talked about this, who's the design director of DBLG, quite a lot on blogs and in speeches he's done and talks, that, you know, they basically created a 3D model of the Channel 4 logo, got out the blocks, and then just threw them on the table. And that's how they pitched this rebrand to Channel 4 of, you know, we can just, you know, just deconstruct that logo. And I just think that's brilliant. That sort of way of thinking is totally where I want to go in my career. And I just think that's such a refreshing outlook on the brand. I love the movement. I love the different colours. I love the new typeface, Horse Ferry and Chadwick. I just think it's a beautiful refresh of that brand. And then from a news perspective, one of the inspirations for me when I was working on the Newsround rebrand in 2014 was RTL News in the Netherlands. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's probably a bit niche. But it's the one where it's got like really pippy music and sort of a very beautiful particle night sky or day sky, depending on what time of day it is. And the what I love about that, and I think it's still on air now, still looks very fresh, was the use of colour. It was very primary. It was very bold. The hierarchy is just brilliant. It's nothing. I think the classic mistake that lots of people make as designers, I've done this myself too, I've only learned it, is, you know, think about that hierarchy. Does the title of this graphic need to be that big? Is the headline really that important? Is it breaking news? I think just think the on-screen grid they've got is really, really nice. Nothing is too bold. Nothing. It just is all at the right level, so it doesn't feel too overwhelming when you're watching it as a viewer. And I think their visual language is brilliantly executed across their daily graphics too. And that's one of the biggest challenges. When I did Newsround and rebranded that, it wasn't just here's some titles, here's the website logo, here's this, that, and the other. It's also how can we implement that brand across daily graphics? So when you've got other graphic designers that are covering those shifts, how can we make sure that they execute that brand consistently in a creative way that gives them freedom, but not, you know, but doesn't start looking totally like a different channel? And I think just their sort of infographic, bold, modern, contemporary, clean, sophisticated approach was a real big inspiration for me when doing Newsround. And I think that's one that stood the test of time. And interestingly, that designer, Mark Porter, he's the one that redesigned The Guardian way back in 2006-ish. So it's got that sort of, you know, Guardian-esque feel that's very sort of great. Basically, it uses colour brilliantly and it uses typography brilliantly. And I think because he was a print designer, that's where that hierarchy comes from. And hopefully, because I started off as a print designer, that's where my hierarchies come from. And then coming back to the UK, some other stuff I really love. And I went to ITV Creative to meet some of the guys there a few months ago, and I was talking about how much I loved their flow. When they've relaunched in 2013 with the logo they've got now, the flow between in trail, bumper, ident into a program, it was just so seamless and beautiful. There was no sort of black frames, or I was like, how on earth did you achieve that? It was just seamless, because there's always, whenever you deliver something into all these different systems that are in broadcast chains, there are always little discrepancies. So something might fall a pixel out, or something might jump, or there's, I know from my experience, trying to get different systems to look and flow simultaneously, it's really hard. And I love the fact they had this beautiful flow between an ITV trail to an ITV2 trail to an ITV3 trail to an ident to a brake bumper into an ad. It was just beautifully executed. And yeah, I'd love to work on a channel brand in the future where I can have a similar approach and try and create a real flow between that on-screen architecture. I don't think any other channels, I've never really seen any other channel nail it as well since. I think BBC Two is quite slick with the, you know, how the trails come in and out and then it goes to an ident. I think that's probably as close as we've got so far. But one day I'd like to try and beat that sort of brilliant, smooth flow of ITV on a channel rebrand.
Okay. Well, we've talked about your favourite television graphics package. Now, this question's coming from James Martin and Nick Ransom as well. Yeah. What do you think are the biggest flaws about the current on-screen looks of the four big news outlets, BBC, ITV, Sky, Channel 4?
Oh, that's a really difficult one to answer, really, because I think every brand will have a flaw somewhere. I think actually the good thing about them all is they're all so distinctive. You know, the BBC is so distinctive from ITV and Channel 4 and Sky. Everyone's got a really bold and distinctive identity and everyone is doing something different. And when I worked in news, I was always looking at all the different broadcasters to go, oh, that's a really interesting way Sky have done that same graphic that I did earlier. They've done it a bit differently. And I love Sky's sort of clean, minimal look. I actually really love the sort of glass box. I love the sort of consistency of their on-screen graphics. It feels almost very RTL News, actually. I wonder if it's been a bit inspired by that. I love the way that ITV News use the virtual studio. I think that's something I'd love to get more into, doing more virtual stuff. I think their identity is really consistent. I love the fact they, during the election a couple of years ago, they had, you know, they've got all the blocks that create the wipe and the titles that all sort of twist on News at 10. They had these brilliant wipes for each political party that all used the blocks. I just thought that was a brilliant interpretation of that brand. I think Channel 4 is going from strength to strength. I love their sort of reinterpreted Channel 4 News identity at the moment. It feels very minimal, very flat, very and looks great on digital platforms. So yeah, it's very hard to say any of them have particularly got problems. I think they've all got great strengths, actually, at the moment. It's a very strong and competitive design market.
Yeah, I have to agree, actually. If you were given control of the branding of any one television channel, which one would you like to take on and why?
Oh, well, so many of them. I'd love to work on all the channels, actually. I think, ultimately, the big one, BBC One, I'd love to one day work on a BBC One rebrand. I mean, it's the nation's, you know, go-to channel for big events like royal weddings and big state occasions. And I'd love to be part of that. And also, you know, Saturday nights, I still think it's, you know, when Strictly's on, it's the channel that everyone watches for Strictly. It's the channel that everyone watches for those big moment TV. And I'd love to be part of a rebrand for that channel one day. I'd love to work on more stuff for Two and for also other channels. I'd love to work with Sky. I think their identities are really interesting. It's very different to what I've been doing at the BBC. It's very glassy. It's very premium. It's very shiny. And I'd love to do more work that's going to push me in that direction. I'd also like to work on some international channel rebrands as well. That's something I've never really had the challenge of working with different languages. And I think that has its own interesting design challenges, particularly if it's, you know, going from right to left rather than left to right. I think that'd be an interesting challenge for me. But yeah, and Channel 4, I think Channel 4 and particularly 4 Creative are just so brilliant at what they do, from their advertising, from their press campaigns, from their channel presentation, all the sort of really innovative stuff they do. I think that would be amazing to do. So yeah, I think whatever comes, I'm going to say yes to everything, because I love TV, I love presentation, I love everything about it. And I think as long as it's going to challenge me in some way and it's not going to be something I could do easy peasy in my sleep, I'd love to take it on, because that's what I'm looking for next. I really want to push myself in a totally, you know, new direction in broadcast design and see if I can take some of the stuff that I've learned working for the BBC for 7 years and try and build on that.
Of course, you can say yes to everything now because you've recently left the BBC and you've now gone freelance. So yeah. What are your plans for the future? Have you got anything in the pipeline?
Yeah, so I'm actually back at the BBC. So I'm going to carry on working with Radio 1 and with Radio 1 Newsbeat and with parts of the World Service on graphics and branding and storytelling with them. I've also got some exciting projects lined up with some agencies and with some other broadcasters that I can't quite mention yet. So yeah, I'm not going to be leaving TV at all, actually. I'm still going to be working in TV and still working on broadcast design. But it felt the right time to go. It's been a really difficult decision to make, actually, because I loved working with the teams I did at Breakfast News around the Northwest Night. I loved working at Media City in Salford. I loved everything about it. But ultimately, I got to the point where I really wanted to challenge myself in new ways, and I wasn't able to do that where I was. So I had to leave all the amazing people behind, which has been really difficult, actually. It's not been an easy choice to make at all. But what's been so great is so many people have got in touch since I've announced I was going freelance about a month ago. So many people have been in touch, and I've got so many exciting projects that have come in that I would just never think I'd even get. And that's what's been really positive, actually, about the experience. I was a bit daunted going solo, and I, especially when you've been in an organisation for 7.5 years, that's longer than I was at school to sixth form. That's longer than you're at university. I felt so part of the furniture at the BBC. But I think if any good designer gets too comfortable, that's the time to go. And I was a bit too comfortable, and I did need to push myself into new areas. And I'd, you know, now want to go and work for BBC Creative, ITV Creative, Sky Creative, Channel 4 Creative. I want to go and, you know, just experience all these different things to then hopefully come back to the organisation one day in a more of a full-time role or another broadcaster. But I feel like I need all these different new experiences now to then become a better designer. And I sort of felt that if I wasn't going to leave this year, I probably never would. So yeah, it's been really difficult, but I'm actually really excited about what's coming up. I'm really excited, and you know, hopefully I will be working on some new exciting TV projects very soon.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck with that, James.
Thank you.
So to finish off,
yeah,
I'm sure there are many people who are listening to this wondering, how do I become a television graphic designer? What tips have you got for anyone who wants to go into the profession?
A great question, and something I get asked quite a lot, actually. I can only talk about it from my own experience, really, which I think might be similar or might be different to others. I'm not really sure. But my way into TV was I was passionate about it. I was really, really passionate about it. I soaked everything up I could about different broadcasters and different designers, and I just tried to speak to as many people as possible. So one of the things I did when I was at school, there was a program called Skins that was the go-to sort of show that all the kids were watching back in the day. And I loved the titles for the show. So I got in touch with, I looked at the end credits and thought, who is designing these titles? I'd love to like do what they do one day. And I found the designer. He was called Tal Rosner. He is like a motionographer, and he does all sorts of amazing art installations. And I emailed him, just saying, I love the titles, how did you make them? And to my surprise, he got in touch and he sent me an email with how he made them. And I therefore just started experimenting with After Effects and with Illustrator and with Photoshop. And I tried to replicate that sort of style. And then I sort of really loved it and got into it. And then I contacted loads of other people too, where all sorts of different broadcasters. Because I was writing my dissertation about it, that helped me focus and find the right people. I networked loads. I did loads of work experience for free. You know, Midlands Today about 15 years ago when I was about 12. I did all sorts of stuff, local radio stations. I did some work experience in lots of different agencies, and you know, a lot of this stuff wasn't paid at all, and I just tried to live and breathe design all the time, and that really helped, because then when I got to the point where I was meeting people in a more professional environment, when I was looking for jobs or placements, I'd already had a lot of experience for someone of my age at the time. One thing I remember doing, for example, I remember emailing Blue Peter, the editor. I found who the editor was of Blue Peter. It just moved to Salford. And I emailed him to basically say, hello, I'm James. I'd really like to do graphic design as a career. I'm just about to finish my final year at university. Can I come in and shadow your graphics team? And little innocent me didn't realise that they don't have a graphics team. And in fact, he emailed me back almost straight away to say, we don't have a graphic team, but you know, we love your enthusiasm and we'll be in touch. Within the space of a couple of hours, I had a phone call from a producer at Blue Peter commissioning me to make a graphic for that next week's programme all about emus. So I was thrown straight into it. And I think that's what my advice would be, is get to know as many people in the industry as possible. Get to meet them. Go find out the work that you love. If you really love the, you know, Channel 4 identity, find out who made it. Get in touch with them. If you really love the graphics on EastEnders, that, you know, where they do special VFX and stuff, find out who did it and get in touch. Go and meet them for a coffee. Try and find out how they work. Be really open to learn. And be also really open to just have to graph for free for a bit, because that's what I did. I was, you know, probably really exhausted. I was doing university and all these different placements. But if I hadn't have done any of that, I would never have got the job at the BBC. And I loved it. And I also keep in touch with all these people as well. So, I have a lot of people to thank for where I'm at this stage of my career. And I love keeping in touch and seeing what they do. And I think that's also a really important thing, is that, you know, if I've met a student and when I, you know, and they've got potential, I can see they're going to make it. And I can, you know, they're almost there. And I to any student as well, I say, keep in touch, let me know what you do, go out there. I think you've got to be real good. You're really good at your own PR. I think you've got to be proud about what you make, and I think you've got to shout about it. And I also think that you need to ask people for feedback, because even to this day, I'll do something, and I've got a little WhatsApp group with a colleague of mine, a former colleague of mine at the BBC, and we'll just send each other bits of design that we like or don't like, and we'll talk about it, or bits of work that we're in the progress of doing. So he's about to make a documentary about something. And we were talking the other day about what sort of graphics he could have. And we were looking at some Netflix shows and some stuff that we'd seen in the States and some stuff that BBC had done. And, you know, I think you've got to be really obsessive and really passionate and really live and breathe TV or design to get in there initially. And equally, I think you've just got to be really open to feedback. And that's how I got to meet a lot of people. Hey, I've done some of this work. I'd love your thoughts on it. And I know I knew at that stage I wasn't at all brilliant, but it was a great way to get in front of these people to then get their advice, speak, get a look around at different working environments, whether it be Sky or ITV or the BBC or local newsrooms or radio stations or agencies. I think you've got to go in being quite open, knowing that I've got a lot to learn, and I still have a lot to learn now as a designer. You know, I might have worked for the BBC for 7.5 years and agency for a few years before that, but I learn new things all the time, and I think you're always growing as a designer, and I think you've got to be very open-minded to new opportunities and knowing that actually it might be tough, but you've got to really, you know, that you'll get there one day and it will pay off one day.
Absolutely fantastic advice there, James. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you very much for being a guest on the TV Booth podcast.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rob. Really enjoyed talking to you.
A big thank you to James Mobbs for taking the time to speak to me today. You can visit his website at jamesmobbs.com. He's also on social media on Twitter and Instagram. We're also online at tvboothpodcast.co.uk. We're on Twitter and Instagram at TV Booth Podcast, and we're also on Facebook if you search for TV Booth Podcast, and we're also on YouTube as well, where you can get exclusive previews of forthcoming podcasts. That's all for now, though. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you again for your continued support. I'm Rob Francis. Goodbye.
The TV Booth Podcast is hosted by Rob Francis. Copyright 2019.